Hey there, podcast listeners. This is Justin from Beyond the Uniform. My goal is to give active duty military personnel the tools they need to have a successful transition to a civilian life. I do that by interviewing different veterans, talking about their transition experience, what they do now, and advice they'd give to those seeking to follow in their footsteps. This week is actually a first for me, speaking to the first enlisted person on the show. Alex Chivers is an incredible human being. He was an Army Ranger on the enlisted side before transitioning to Dartmouth, one of the best colleges in the country. And I think this is a great interview, first of all, for any enlisted considering going to college once they get out. He gives some very tactical, very sound advice on what that process is like, what he learned, and how others could benefit from his experience on that. I also think it's great for any officers, you know, perhaps looking to give back to the enlisted community or who are in touch with the enlisted community and would be a good resource for you to pass on to them. Lastly, whether you're officer or enlisted, if you're thinking about the world of finance, at the end of the interview, we do dive into investment banking, talking about what that is. I think Alex gives a great overview of that. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, there are show notes. So if there's just specific portions of the interview that are relevant to you or interesting to you, you'll find the different time markers there. If you don't want to listen to the whole thing, you can skip around. Also, Alex mentions a couple different resources. I've put the URLs for those resources in the show notes as well at beyondtheuniform.io. So here is Alex on his experience transitioning to college and investment banking. All right, Alex, thank you so much for joining me today.
No, thank you very much.
So before diving into the questions, I wanted to give just a quick quick recap of your background. You served in the Army and the Army Rangers, deploying to Afghanistan as part of Operation Enduring Freedom. After that, you worked with Service to School and you were able to get into Dartmouth, where you're currently studying cognitive sciences. And while you've been at Dartmouth, you've had some really impressive internships with the U.S. House of Representatives, the Committee of Veterans Affairs, and two different internships with investment banking at Barclays and Perella Weinberg Partners. So I was really excited to speak with you, you know, first of all, about your experience with Service to School, but then also, if we have time, diving into those internships and kind of how that's compared to the military and advice you'd have. So thanks for joining me.
No, thank you very much. Absolutely.
So I thought I would start with just backing up to when you were still in the Army. And I'm always curious to learn about when you knew you were going to leave the military and how you approached that decision.
Yeah, so when I enlisted in the Army, I enlisted because I figured I could either be involved in something that I thought was a pivotal moment in U.S. foreign policy and American history, which was the global war on terror, or I could sort of sit out on the sidelines and watch it pass by. So with that in mind, I wanted to join the military. I wanted to deploy. I wanted to be involved in that and hopefully have some influence. And I actually got out Christmas Day 2013. And a big sort of push behind that was that I felt that the war was sort of winding down. I felt like I had accomplished what I had set out to do. And I thought it would probably be a good time to make that transition. So with that in mind, I knew that there wasn't necessarily any direct civilian correlation of being a ranger. So if I wanted to go into some different career field, I figured I needed to go back to school. I hadn't had a college degree yet. And so I started putting together, I guess, a plan or an idea of what I wanted to do and how would what would be the best path to get there. And so I figured going to school at that point was going to be the direction that I needed to take.
And how far in advance did you start thinking about that? Was that something that you, Christmas Day comes and then you started putting that plan into place? Or when did you start to put the plan in place to go to college?
You know, I think it's probably started about 8 months before I actually got out. I was thinking about re-enlisting for a while. I was thinking about maybe doing something different. And with that, I realized that I think at that point in time, I decided, no, I should be moving on. I should be trying something different. So with about probably 8 months left, I decided that I wanted to try and take classes at a community college. And so I ended up taking classes while I was going through the ETS process at Pierce College, which is the local community college right next to Fort Lewis, Washington. And so with that in mind, I was transitioning out. About 8 months, I decided I wanted to do that, started taking classes. And I thought from there, I'd get a good grasp on, one, going to school again, and two, seeing where I wanted to sort of head career-wise.
If in retrospect, or if someone was still on active duty right now, do you think like 8 months is enough? Would you say that's too long, not long enough? I'm wondering if you could do it over again, if you would change that at all.
I don't think I would change too much, but I also don't think it's necessarily the correct path for everyone to go on. I think 8 months was enough time for me to figure out that I needed to set up a plan for when I got out of the military, and it gave me a chance to start looking at what I wanted to do academically going forward. It gave me a chance to try and enroll in some classes before I had finished getting out. But I think, and I've seen plenty of people who've been successful transitioning on a shorter period of time, and others who I've seen, especially working through service to school, who have been planning their transitions out years in advance. So I don't think there's necessarily a right answer, but I think there's a lot of things that can work for different people.
That's great. And I'm wondering, was there, it sounds like you were pretty set on college. Was there any desire or push to go straight into a job, or how did you kind of balance that decision between college versus just going straight to a job?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think one of the things that I realized was there wasn't a lot of correlation between jobs I was necessarily interested in getting out of the military and jobs that didn't require some sort of post-secondary education. So I sort of viewed going to college as, one, I really wanted to get that learning experience again. Despite my very poor academic grades while I was a high school student, I did enjoy learning. I did enjoy reading. So having that in mind, I wanted to go back for that experience and also to pursue something different. You know, I have a lot of friends who get out and they do different things. Like, a lot of them will want to become firefighters or become police officers, or a lot do contracting, but it wasn't something that necessarily held the same appeal to me. And so that sort of led me on the college path.
That's great. One question I haven't asked before that just kind of occurred to me when you were saying that is, I'm curious how you prepared or advice you'd give people preparing financially. Because, you know, in talking to different people, sometimes it seems like, you know, this separation from the military comes about, or it sneaks up, and then there is that need to put food on the table, to continue to earn money, to still have a means of surviving. And so sometimes I've you know, heard stories where people end up taking not their first choice because they just don't have the financial means to pursue what they really want to. And I'm wondering if you have any advice on how to think about, you know, once you knew you were getting out of the Army, how you prepared so financially you were in a spot where you could go to college, or you could, you know, pay the bills in between that separating from the Army and going to college.
Right. No, and I think it's a very good point. It's very easy to have these lofty goals when you have a solid paycheck every month, and then the dynamic shifts dramatically when you get out and you realize that you're sort of out there in the real world without that income that you had from the military. Personally, I guess I've always been sort of frugal. I saved up a lot of money before I was leaving. I usually saved up a good amount of money from my deployments, and I wanted to save up my GI Bill as well. So when I was at community college, I was actually paying for that out of pocket. So I feel like if someone wants to do something like that, it's very doable if you want to live in a sort of frugal lifestyle. And obviously, you have to plan in advance for that and budget it in. And I know it also changes for people with families who want to go back to school because they have more expenses. And, you know, I know a lot of people who do work part time if they are trying to go to school or do hope to do that in the future. So I think, like anything, especially related to people coming out of the military, proper prior planning really sort of sets you up for success or failure. And the more far in advance people can be aware of that, the better it will work out for them.
That's great. And, you know, I'm really excited to hear about especially since you recently, in the last 3 years, went through the service to school program, to dive in and learn more about that process. And I first learned about service to school about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I wish I'd known about that when I'd applied to grad school. But the more I've come to know about the organization, the more I respect the service they're providing to veterans. And I'd just love to learn, especially explaining this to someone on active duty right now, what service to school is and what that process was like for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to clarify beforehand, I actually did not do the application process through service to school. I found out about it after I had already applied to school. And when I found out, the light sort of clicked and I realized that was something I wanted so badly that I didn't have access to or that I didn't know I had access to.
That's exactly how I felt too. Yeah.
So I was the fourth or fifth ambassador for the undergraduate side with service to school. An ambassador is someone who, you know, helps someone through every part of the application process. Now we have, I think, on the undergrad side, something close to 150, 170 ambassadors. So it's grown a lot just in these past 3 years. But what service to school does is it provides free admissions counseling to transitioning military veterans when it comes to college applications. We realize that, you know, a lot of students coming out of high school, going to college, they have all these advantages that military veterans don't. They have, you know, SAT tutors or guidance counselors or helicoptering parents or, you know, just a very specific structured pipeline to go into college. And then when you get out of the military, you go through TAPS or whatever the transition program is, and then you're out and you have really no idea what you're doing. So service to school helps on the enlisted side or people applying to undergraduate with, you know, resume preparation, application preparation, especially a big focus on helping people write their essays, which is very key for people applying to college from a military background, helping people decide who they want to get letters of recommendation from, helping people select what schools they'd want to apply to. And it's a completely free service that really just aims to give back to other veterans. And usually there's an expectation, hopefully, that once a veteran has gone through this and received all this help, that they'll be able to sort of give back and provide it for someone else. And it's not just for undergraduate or enlisted veterans. We also have an application process for MBA programs, for law degrees, and all of their graduate programs in general. So, you know, I love it. It's become a real sort of a love project for me. It's something I've been doing for a while now, and it's so great to see, you know, just the impact that can have on hundreds and hundreds of applicants, really bringing them up to a level of preparedness that they might not have had otherwise, because military veterans, I found, are, you know, some of the most competitive applicants, and they often don't realize it and don't realize how to display it.
I completely agree with that. And, it's so, you know, from my standpoint, it's so impressive to see you get into Dartmouth, one of the best schools in the nation. They have an incredible reputation. And then to realize that you did that, you know, largely on your own is even more impressive. I'm wondering, when you were in the process of applying to schools, how many schools did you apply to, and how did you decide on Dartmouth?
Sure. And let me just respond to something. I don't want to say I did that on my own, because I definitely did not. I actually I found an admissions counselor at Tufts University who had done an interview on Reddit talking about college applications, and I sent him a message one day. And he very graciously took time out of his busy schedule. You know, he visited a lot of colleges, read thousands of applications to help me prepare my material. So even though I didn't have service to school, I had someone else who was familiar with the program. So I felt very fortunate from that. But when it came to the college application process, I realized I felt like I had done something very competitive and very interesting while I was in the military. And I felt like I wanted that to sort of transfer over to my college experience as well. So I applied to Dartmouth and a couple other schools of the same sort of a tier, and I applied specifically to schools in the East Coast because I'm from New Jersey originally. And I was lucky. It was like most college students. I got into some, didn't get into others. But when it came to decide where I wanted to go, Dartmouth just seemed like a very good fit for me because I love the outdoors from the military. It's up here in rural New Hampshire, so you know, I spend a lot of time hiking or outside. It has a real focus on undergraduate education, which was something important to me as an undergrad. and I thought it had a lot of opportunities for military veterans especially. The former president of Dartmouth, James Wright, was an enlisted Marine, and so he's always had a special soft spot for military veterans, and he's done a lot over the years to draw veterans to Dartmouth specifically and help in veterans initiatives in general. So, you know, with all of these things sort of coming together, Dartmouth just seemed like a great fit, and I really don't regret it at all. I've had a fantastic academic experience up here. I've had a chance to learn so much, get connected with so many interesting people from it, that I'm really fortunate to be where I am from it.
That's great. And for someone on active duty who's thinking of applying to college when they transition, what advice would you give to them on the application process?
One, I think they should reach out to service to school. I don't mean it as shameless self-promotion, but I really think we offer special, I don't know, help or assistance to people who need it, who won't get it otherwise. And we also have the advantage of it's other military veterans who you're working with who know how to help you explain what a fire team is or explain other military responsibilities or acronyms that you have. Besides that, I feel like people are often concerned about, you know, are they actually competitive for top schools? How important are former test scores? How much will prior grades be taken into consideration? I would say it's important for people who are looking to transition to worry about the things that they can help and they can fix, you know, like your essays, what you want to do going forward. And, you know, don't worry about what's in the past because there's no changing it. So no point getting caught up about it.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think I can imagine a lot of people spending a lot of time and energy worrying about those things that they can't change. And
right.
You're right, that comes at the expense of then just really putting in the effort to the things that might compensate. And I would imagine that might be test scores or essays, or even I'm imagining, you know, you had talked about the community college classes you took, and it sounds like that was a good guiding influence in feeling for what you wanted to do and testing out the world of education. But I'm imagining that also did look good on your application, and maybe that would be a way for someone to offset a lower high school GPA or something like that by adding something more recent that shows academic excellence. So I like that thought of investing the time where it would make a difference.
Oh, no, absolutely. I think if you could get a chance to take classes, and I usually recommend personally that people take it once they're out. I feel like it's very difficult to juggle school and military duties at the same time. And another big thing is a lot of sort of very competitive schools will not take online transfer credits. So people in the military often do that, and it doesn't end up transferring. But I think getting a chance to get back in that seat in that academic environment is huge. For me, it showed me that I actually could do it because, like I mentioned before, I was a very poor student in high school growing up. So the chance that I had to go to community college and do really well gave me that confidence boost that I needed as well. So I think getting that sort of experience before applying is very important to actually being successful later on down the road.
That's great. And I was also curious, because you have worked as an ambassador with Service to Schools, I'm imagining you've spoken to quite a few veterans who are applying to college. And I'm wondering if anything stands out as common misconceptions that people have about college or the college application process or the transition to civilian life.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in a lot of ways, the whole college application process from an outsider looking in is a huge black box, and you have no idea what goes into it. So students are always, or veterans are always very concerned about, you know, if they will actually be competitive at a top school, or again, how important their former test scores or former grades are. I think the biggest misconception is that these students won't be competitive at these top schools. Schools want these types of students. They want these types of veteran experiences. And I think oftentimes as people, we do a very good job at putting people or places or institutions on pedestals that they don't need to be on. I remember when I was a brand new private in the Army, I saw anyone with a Ranger tab and I thought, oh, wow, that must be like the toughest guy on the planet. And, you know, not to take anything away from Ranger School or certain things in the military. You know, they're all very impressive achievements, and I'm very proud of my the fact that I went to Ranger School or went through RASP and was a Ranger. But, you know, thousands of people have done it before. Thousands of people will do it since. It's not exactly unique, and, you know, these schools are, while unique, they're not exactly on this unattainable pedestal as well. You know, these kids who go to Yale or Dartmouth are still normal students, and they're people that you can identify with and compete with academically. So I think that the number one misconception is thinking that we're not competitive enough when we absolutely are. And then number two is really trying to figure out how to go about that. People worry a lot about former test scores, and schools can be very accommodating of certain things like that. For example, I think Dartmouth, for transfer students, they require you to submit your SAT2 or your AP test scores. And I remember seeing that, and I told the admissions office, I have no idea what an SAT2 is. And they sort of laughed, and they said, all right, don't worry about it. And they sort of waived that process for me. And so, you know, schools are willing to be accommodating. Schools want experiences that you bring. As long as you can demonstrate that you have, you know, the drive to do well there, and you have that sort of academic credentials, I think a lot of people will be surprised at how competitive they are at these places.
It's so funny you say that. I know that that's true from my experience, and in a couple of these other interviews, that's been a trend that's come up. Is, you know, it's surprising to me because the stereotype of the military is confidence and just a lot of drive and determination. And I think that's very true. But I think in that transition to civilian life, I know for me, I kind of approached it. For me, it was business school, but it was this sense of looking around and feeling behind my peers,
right,
and feeling like they knew more than I did. And it's been funny to see that emerge as a trend of kind of this, I think you put it well, of putting people on a pedestal or putting institutions on a pedestal. And I think that there's a lot of ways where that humility and self-awareness is beneficial. But I think it's good that you're pointing out that oftentimes we can overcompensate in that transition of feeling unworthy or unprepared or further behind our peers. And I like that approach of having the confidence to realize, look, I'm just as deserving of this as others. I'm just as prepared. And I may have a lot of holes in my knowledge, but I also have a lot of experience that my civilian counterparts don't have.
Oh, exactly. I mean, if you think about a lot of civilian counterpart jobs, they might have a mid-year review and an end-of-year review, and that's the time when they really review the things that they have done in the past. In the military, we have an AAR after every single iteration of a live fire or everything we do. So it makes it really difficult to sort of overcome almost this crippling self-awareness of our strengths or weaknesses. But I think when we get that under control and we see, you know, it's great that we have this self-awareness, but we should also realize that, you know, we do bring something special to the table that can be leveraged or can be used that other people want to have as well.
Mm, that's great. That kind of leads into my next question, which is, I'm wondering, in what ways did you feel like your experience in the Army put you ahead of your classmates at Dartmouth? And then in what ways did you feel like you needed to catch up or you were behind your classmates because of your military experience?
Sure. So, you know, I think there's a lot of real advantages coming from a military background. And it's a lot of the little things that you pick up from the day-to-day job that really transition well into an academic setting. You know, being able to work with deadlines or work under pressure, attention to detail is such a huge thing for academic success. And so I feel like those little things, they add up dramatically to put you in a position where you can do well. I think another big thing is being in the military, I think we develop a very high pain threshold, either for doing stuff that we find sort of boring or difficult or mind-numbing, like, I don't know, being on CQ for 24 hours, or, you know, doing stuff that's very difficult or time-consuming, like being out on patrol or doing a mission. And so this extra high pain threshold that we develop from the military makes it that that the painful things of being in school, like, you know, studying in an air-conditioned library late at night, are really not that painful. So I think it gives a pretty distinct advantage when it comes to work ethic and a drive. But I would also say the biggest disadvantage, which we, or I know personally I had a hard time overcoming, is that a lot of times military veterans become very poor at asking for help when they need it or when they don't understand something. And in an academic setting, I think that's one of the most important things you can do. I've learned very quickly that the best way to see my performance in a course improve is to take advantage of a professor's office hours, or to say, be the guy who's willing to raise my hand and say, oh, I have no idea what's going on. Can we take a step back and sort of go over this again? So I think once we get over our, I guess, penchant for not asking for help when we might need it, or seeing if we can tough through something, then it really becomes a really effective sort of study pattern or progression method.
Yeah, I echo what you said on the work ethic and the ability to really power through things. I think that's an incredible advantage from the military. And I'm also really happy you said that around the asking for help component. And that is something that has also been a trend that's come up in multiple interviews, is it seems like the counterpart to our ability from the military to just power through, be autonomous, take care of ourselves, get things done. The flip side that can be negative from that is hesitancy to ask for help or hesitancy to seek help. And it's funny, you know, in speaking with people both in industry and in education, seeing that seems to be one of the hallmarks that leads to success is the ability to say, like, hey, I don't know about this. Let me get help from someone who does. And shortcutting, borrowing from other people's experience, borrowing from people who are in a position of leadership to learn from them, and then not having to learn everything else on your own. And so I'm really happy you pointed that out. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Oh, absolutely. I know the military cure-all is to, you know, take a knee, face out, pull security, and drink water. But a lot of times in education or I know in the work environment, if you're just spinning your wheels because you don't want to ask for help, you're wasting your time, you're wasting other people's time, and you're not being as effective as you could be. So I think it's a stigma that military veterans should work on overcoming, and something I still work on overcoming.
That's great. And apart from service to school, I'm wondering if there's any resources, be it a book, a movie, a person, a community, a website, any resources you found helpful for the transition that you would encourage other active duty military personnel to look at?
One thing that I found very useful was American Corporate Partners, which is an organization that helps transitioning military veterans. They, in some ways, it's very similar with service to school, where they'll pair you up with someone who works in the career field you're interested in to act as sort of a mentor, and they can help guide you through either the application process of whatever career field that is, or the internship process, or whatever it may be. So that's something I took advantage of as well, which I thought was very helpful. And then besides that, just, you know, I'm sure there's going to be tons of websites or books or articles on whatever anyone's just interested in. So just having that intellectual curiosity to go out there and seek it, I think people will be able to find what they need if they're really interested in it.
That's great. That's great. I'm wondering if you have a couple more minutes, I'd love to just kind of dive into the internships just to kind of give a little bit more flavor for the active duty community. Do you have a couple more minutes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I saw on your on LinkedIn that you had worked at or interned at Barclays and Perella Weinberg Partners. And I thought it might be interesting to hear your take on the world of finance or investment banking. So for someone who was on active duty, you know, like me, I had no clue of what investment banking was. I'm wondering, how would you explain to them what investment banking is and what your job looked like while you were interning there?
Sure. So like you, I had very little understanding of what investment banking or finance was. My introduction to the, I guess, career field in general is sort of amusing. I became interested in the idea of markets or how things like that might work when I was in Ranger School. And, you know, food and sleep deprivation is a huge part. I think I lost 25, 30-something pounds in the 2 months. And I ended up paying someone $20 for a Gatorade bar and sitting there reflecting on how just absurd it is that I'm paying $20 for a candy bar that doesn't cost more than 50 cents. So it sort of led down a rabbit hole of being interested in how economics might work and how, you know, trading works. And then from there, I learned more about finance or investment banking. And what investment banking is essentially is it's helping businesses with whatever sort of financial goals they have, whether it's to raise money through, you know, new investors or to raise money through debt or borrowing money from different people, or whether it's to help them complete some important transaction like buying another business or selling their own business to someone else. And so investment banking really works as advisors to companies to help them achieve whatever goals they have, whether it's growth or reorganizing themselves into however they need to look to be competitive in their environment.
That's great. And I'm wondering, the first internship you had was at the U.S. House of Representatives. What drove that interest, and what was that experience like?
Yeah, so here at Dartmouth, we have it's called a foreign study program, which is amusing because this one was in Washington, D.C., where you can spend a term abroad or in D.C., and you get to participate in a couple lecture classes with a professor down there and also do an internship. And so I thought this program looked very interesting, specifically because I wanted to learn a little bit more about how Veterans Affairs stuff worked. I guess I wanted to see essentially how the sausage is made. And so I got an internship down there on the committee of our House Committee on Veteran Affairs, and it gave me a chance to get involved in parts of it, whether it's related to educational issues that they have or legislation to push forward for that, legislation for fixing things in the VA itself, whether it's related to healthcare or veteran suicide issues. So it was a really fascinating time to see really what some of the things or the initiatives are going forward and also to change some maybe misconceptions I had on certain ways the VA or the government operates with regards to the VA. So I really enjoyed just getting to, I don't know, roll up my sleeves and be in there a little bit and see how everything sort of comes together.
That's great. And I know you're just about to start your final year at Dartmouth, but what are you thinking about life after Dartmouth? Any ideas of what you'll do?
Yeah, so I was very lucky after my internship this summer at Perella Weinberg Partners to get a job offer. And so I'll actually be going there to work after I graduate, which I'm really excited about. I really enjoyed the work. I thought it was a interesting career field. My final year at Dartmouth, I think it's just about wrapping up school, getting a couple more experiences, being in the outdoors here and enjoying the winter weather when it comes around. And then, you know, after my time at Perella Weinberg, I'm not sure what exactly the future holds in store there, but I guess we'll see as it goes along.
Yeah, that's great. And you were able to wrap up everything at Dartmouth in 3 years, is that right?
Right, yeah. So, I mean, I had college credits beforehand that I was able to transfer in, but it'll be 3 years by the time I'm done.
Wow, that's great. You know, it's something I think about a lot where when I was at the Naval Academy, there was a lot of prior enlisted, and, you know, for a lot of the enlisted community that does go to college when they get out of the military, that life experience and that self-knowledge I think you get through the military, in my opinion, really helps accelerate the education process. And, you know, most people who are going to college straight out of high school, they don't know a lot about themselves. They don't know about what they want to do. And, this is just my opinion, but a lot of times they undervalue the opportunity that they have. And it's awesome to see, you know, from an outsider's perspective, to see you not only go into an exceptional college, but flying through that, getting an unbelievable job at the end of it. And it sounds like making the most of that opportunity. So it's really cool to see that as an example.
No, thank you. And I think that's a good point that you bring up as well. I think having a little bit more life experience or learning a little bit more about yourself gives you opportunities to, I guess, appreciate or enjoy the educational experience you can get, and also to do things that are a little bit different that you might not have done otherwise. I've had a lot of opportunities to do really cool sort of independent research projects with different professors here at Dartmouth, which has been, phenomenal learning experiences that I don't think it's something I would have thought about beforehand. And, the opportunities to really explore these projects in greater depth has been something that I don't know I would have thought about prior as well. I did a research course on a certain aspect of Mormon theology, actually, and Dartmouth paid for me to fly out to Utah to use the archives and library at the University of Utah to continue more of the research for that. And so that's just, I guess one little example of a really awesome experience that I don't know if I would have pursued or had otherwise.
That's great. That's great. Well, I know we covered a lot already, and you've given a lot of incredible advice. I'm wondering, as we wrap up, any final words that you would say to those on active duty listening? Any thoughts about the transition, about college, or just anything that we didn't cover already that you wanted to share?
Sure. I think an important thing for the transition to the civilian world is, I guess, remember first and foremost that you're a person. I'm really proud of my military service, but I think if I identify first as a veteran and then everything that follows after that, it sort of continues on or creates a little bit more of this civilian military divide. So I feel that it's helpful to, be proud of my veteran background and use it and learn from it, but also realize that I'm a person moving forward and going from that. But also, slightly related to that is, don't forget about the great support network that you get from other veterans, who are always willing to reach out and help. Really, the way I got my internship at both Barclays and Perella Weinberg Partners was reaching out to military veterans, even from different branches, and getting a chance to talk with them and ask them about what their job was like. And they were willing to push my resume forward to, the recruiting teams, and it sort of panned out from there. And so I'm very grateful for the support I've got from other veterans, which has just been phenomenal in achieving goals that I've had. I hope to continue on and offer that same support in the future. And I think it's a really special community that we have. I think it's something we should take advantage of, but I also think it's something that we shouldn't let completely define or encompass who we are, what we want to do.
Yeah, man, I think that's great advice. I think that the identity piece is so consumed with the military while you're in it, and then
Right.
it's almost like re-exploring who you are when you get out, where you are able to have more freedom to figure out who you are and
Right.
to realize that that is one component of who you are and not all of who you are. And what I also like about what you said is that military community, because I do think a lot about how most people on active duty, they go from an incredibly tight-knit unit and community and structure, even if they don't realize it at the time, it's a very tight-knit family. And then to transition where they live, what they're doing, all of these major things without that built-in support network is a lot for anyone at any stage of their life to take on.
Absolutely.
And so, I would add to that, obviously there's friends and family and other, religious communities and other, community organizations and other ways for them to establish those ties, but to not overlook also the enormous community that the military is. And it's always surprising to me because, when I do talk to people on active duty, they do see, I think that they make a little bit of a bigger deal about their individual branch within the Army or their, whether they were Navy or Air Force. I think on the outside, it just kind of gets lumped into military, and it doesn't really matter what you were specifically doing. It's just kind of like, you were in the armed forces. And so to realize, regardless of what their background is, the other veterans are in general extremely willing to help and serve as that community outside of the military as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my mentor from American Corporate Partners was a Marine Corps officer. The person who really helped me get my internship at Barclays was a Navy submarine officer, and then the person who I talked to most at Perella Weinberg was another Marine Corps infantry officer. And so I've gotten this huge amount of support from people that, you know, I was not in the same branch in. Some of them I had no idea what they do for their job or how their job works, but just that armed forces common bond is what really helps. And so, you know, I don't think people need to limit themselves to trying to get help just from people who are in their own branch or maybe their own unit or their own job. You know, once you're a veteran, every other veteran is willing to help and help you move forward and progress.
Well, thank you, Alex. I appreciate your time on this. It's very energizing hearing about your story, and I think it's a great role model for a lot of people who are thinking of transitioning and going to college and doing a pretty major leap from the military into investment banking. So I appreciate your time and perspective on this.
No, absolutely, Justin. Thank you very much for your time as well.
Yep. All right, folks, that's all for today. A couple quick admin items. First of all, Service to School mentioned in this interview at servicetoschool.org. It is a free resource for any veteran to help you get into your ideal grad school, undergraduate school, whatever school you would like to get into. It is a great program. The more I learn about it, the more I like it. I would encourage anyone on active duty to check them out. You have nothing to lose from it. Second of all, these interviews are one component of Beyond the Uniform. The second at beyondtheuniform.io is a lot of data, key takeaways, trends, analysis, looking at different communities and, you know, based on your background, what that might say about what you're going to do when you get out of the military. So check that out as well. Lastly, if you have any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, feel free to contact me at beyondtheuniform.io. Thanks and have a great week.